Well, I've been spending several weeks trying to figure out what the next direction would be as far as like a message series and what I would be preaching on, and over the last few weeks the same thing has come to mind countless times on what to preach on, and so I'll be attempting to tackle the Ten Commandments. And I say attempting to tackle, it's because it is such a broad topic. Yes, there's only 10 commandments. How hard can it be? But even like today, as I started preparing on Monday to preach on the first commandment, I didn't even get to the first commandment. So we're not even going to talk about the first commandment today. But there's a lot of great things, and I have great respect for the covenant that God made with the Israelites. And the Ten Commandments were the foundational pieces in teaching the Israelites, and ultimately us, how to love God and how to love others. And so often when I look at the Ten Commandments, I often see just the "thou shalt not." That really seems to stick out to me, especially when I was younger. It almost seems like it's a list of do nots. And there's a couple that don't have the do not in there, but most of them are. But the reality of these commandments is that they're like a battery. When you think of a battery, you have a positive charge on one side and you have a negative charge on the other side. The negative, and when looking at these commandments from that perspective, looking when we see the negative pole, the negative charge, that's the forbidden, that's the sinful side. But when we look at the positive pole, it speaks of what we are commanded to do. The things that are pleasing to God. So as we walk in life, we're faced with those two poles at the same time. We are to be rejecting and walking away from the forbidden and making sure that we are walking and doing the things that pleases the Lord. And I'll talk about that more later. But before I even get to the commandments, I have a bigger question that I've struggled with, and I thought that I would talk a little bit about it this morning, but it ended up taking up the whole sermon. So this is what most of the message will be about today. The question that comes to mind is, why should we pay attention to the Ten Commandments? Yes, they were foundational to the Israelites, but that was then, and we're in the now. Some might say they are good to know, but they were from the first covenant. We have Jesus Christ. We have His death and resurrection, which marks a new covenant that we're under. We're no longer bound by the letter of the law. Now, while some of that may be true to some extent, it certainly falls short. So I'll be looking at the importance of the law for us today and looking at how the Ten Commandments are relevant for us today. I'd like to begin with Romans chapter 6. And I'll be starting with verses 1 and 2, and then I'll be moving on to verses 14 through 16. Let's read Romans chapter 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Let's move ahead to verses 14 through 16. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? Sometimes the Apostle Paul can be interesting when he writes. And you can read some things that he's written, and after you get done reading it, you kind of scratch your head and go, well, that was about as clear as mud. I'm not sure if this passage was that for you, but it can be. In verse 14, we're clearly told that we are not under the law, but we are under grace. But Paul understands that the way people think, and making a statement like that could lead some people to believe that we can throw away the law and do as we please. But if you look at the entire Old Testament and look at the history of Israel, of the Israelites, we see that that was a problem that plagued them from the beginning. They forgot the Lord, and they did what was right in their own eyes. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul reiterates that intentionally sinning is not an option. Even though we have grace, sinning is still not okay. To throw away the law and go on sinning, according to what Paul says here, leads to enslavement. An enslavement to sin, which leads to death, to eternal judgment. Instead, we are to follow obedience, which leads to righteousness and life. But one of the greatest things to understand is that without the law, we would not even know what sin was. Without the law, we wouldn't know what sin is. Before those commands, well, I'm going to go back here. The law was given to separate God's people from everyone else. And God's people would be different because they would be following Him and His commands. And before those commands, before those laws were given, people would not have known what they were doing was wrong. So this is something that came to mind. It kind of reminds me of an age-old question. If a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it, does it really make a sound? Well, the question is, if someone sins but doesn't know it's sin, have they really sinned? Of course. Sin is sin is sin is sin. The difference is, if they truly don't know it was sin, the consequence looks different. But you cannot change what sin is. My perception or your perception does not change sin. Your understanding of it doesn't change what it is. Just like a person who's colorblind and they cannot see that the color of this hymnal is red. If someone's colorblind, this may look like a shade of gray. Does that make this a gray hymnal? No. It's still red. It doesn't change the color. But Paul has something more to say about sin. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Romans 5, 13. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Here's another clear as mud verse. There are many times as parents that we are confronted with something our child does, and while we think they should know better, we never really told them it was wrong. I have a story that I want to share. I just discovered that very thing the other day. My wonderful son, Joshua. I love my son. I love all my kids, but on this particular day, Joshua he's potty training. And there's always the ups and downs. You know, sometimes you have accidents and have to wash more things. But the prospect of getting him out of diapers and saving all that money and not having to change diapers anymore, that's exciting to me. But on one day a couple weeks ago, Joshua decided that he needed to go to the bathroom. So he runs off. Before I get to what happens, I want to tell you that Juanita's been doing some canning. It's fall, so she's got canning stuff sitting out. She's got all sorts of stuff laying around the kitchen, getting ready, you know, for other batches of things to can. And one thing that was sitting out was a metal canner. Something that you put water in, you boil water, and you put the jars in this canner, and that's how you heat everything up to can. Well, when Joshua ran off, I heard a sound in the kitchen. It's like, well, that's not the bathroom. And with Joshua, you just really never know what he's getting into. He's just that age. Well, as Joshua is running to the bathroom, he sees this canner sitting on the floor. It was just sitting there all by itself. There's nothing around it. It's completely empty. Joshua, being the brilliant child that he is, he noticed that it might be good for something. I think you're kind of getting to where I'm going. He doesn't really know what it's used for, but he knows it's a perfect height for something else. Well, when I went to investigate the strange noise in the kitchen, I came to find Joshua happily relieving himself into this big empty canner that he's now thought would be good for something else. So the question is it wrong to go to the bathroom in a canner? Yes. It's being used to prepare food. Did Joshua know that it was wrong? Well, no. He's just two. Whether he knew it was wrong or not doesn't change the fact that it's not okay to go to the bathroom in a canner that we're using to can food. Some of you may have a different idea on that, but I'm just telling you, it's not right. But that's the same for us. If we sin and we don't know it's sin, it doesn't change the fact that it's still sin. But this verse in Romans, we see that sin was in the world causing all sorts of problems before the law was given. What does Paul mean when sin is not taken into account before the law was given? I struggle with that. I'm going to tell you right now, I struggle with what he meant when he said it's not taken into account when there is no law. And the reason why I struggle with that is because God still had judgments on the earth before the law was given. The flood is a big one. Before these Ten Commandments were given, God destroyed mankind through a flood, saving Noah and his family. We also saw that the Tower of Babel, before, you know, he had judged the people at the time of the Tower of Babel. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. People still died from Adam to the time of Moses, and that shows that the guilt of sin was still here. But maybe God looked at people a little different because they didn't know better. It's hard to say. But I know that from the story of my Joshua, his consequence should be different if he continues to go and relieve himself in the canner after knowing that it's wrong. Sin is a problem for humanity, and I think that it is important to realize that sin is sin, whether it's identified by us or not. God's desire was for us to know what it is, and he started with his covenant with the Israelites, and he gave them the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments explained his requirements for his people, who would be separated from sin and set apart to serve him. Over time, the Levitical laws expanded the Ten Commandments in order to help the people understand more fully what was required by God. You see, sin cannot be in the presence of God, and his people need to purge themselves from sin. It's something that they had to learn. They first needed to identify the sin and then turn from it. It wasn't easy then, and as many of you here this morning are very much aware, that it hasn't changed over time. It's still hard to turn from at times. The desire and the hope is to be sin-free, but we're broken, and not one of us is able to achieve this. We would not fully understand our need for a Savior if it were not for the law showing us that not one of us is able to keep it perfectly. We cannot earn salvation. We will always fall short. This is what the law was also teaching us, that we needed that Savior. Yet for some people, they may look back in the Old Testament and feel that the law was oppressive and burdensome. There were laws covering everything, even the type of material that your clothes are made out of. Everything seemed to have regulations in it. But the law was perfect. And I'll tell you, it was perfect because God gave it. God revealed this law to his people. And sometimes we may struggle to understand why some things were regulated. I mean, I love ham. I love pulled pork. I love pork chops. And I most definitely love bacon. I don't understand why the Israelites couldn't eat it. But the law said pork was off limits. But there are principles behind that law that we can learn from. Principles that will never change because God never changes. Pork was considered unclean, and the Israelites were forbidden to consume them. And unclean things are all around us. We need to reject the unclean things. Sin and spiritual things that impact our hearts and minds and ultimately our relationship with the Lord. We need to reject those, turn away from them. And not everything in this world brings us closer to God. In fact, there is a world full of things that take us away from a relationship with our Lord. Are we willing to say no to those things? Again, the law was perfect, and understanding that will help our attitude change to that of adoration and love for it. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Wow. An adoration for the law, to adore it, because it's God's revelation. And there's other psalms, there's other scriptures that show delight in the law of the Lord. Some even talking about meditating on it day and night, giving it the respect it rightly deserves. The Lord has spoken, and it was and is good. Yet we must also come to the conclusion that humanity over time has twisted the law and changed it at times. The Pharisees were great at this. And the thoughts of oppressive and burdensome laws become a reality when legalism becomes the rule. At the time of Christ, the religious leaders had hijacked the law and added their own rules and traditions. It was their interpretation that was the rule, no longer the laws of God. We see Jesus giving rebuke in Mark 7 for just this. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men.' And he said to them, 'You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions.'" Wow. That's a warning, not just to the Pharisees, but to us all. Let us not lose sight of the Lord by being distracted by the laws or traditions of men. Read God's revelation. Read the Holy Bible. Not just the New Testament, but start reading it all. Because a lot of times we can rely on what somebody else says and not really look at what God has said. It's perfect because God gave it to us. And as I close, I want to clarify. The law was given by God so that we may know how we are to live, so that we may know what He expects from us. The law will not save us. It will not save you. Try as hard as you might, you will always fall short. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace is God's benevolence, it's His compassion for the undeserving. We don't deserve it, but God wants us to have it because He loves us. Even though we are sinful, God has compassion, and He sent His Son Jesus Christ to take away our sins and bring us eternal life. And we in return live according to His ways. And we do this by understanding and obeying His commandments, by following His example. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." We are no longer held to the letter of the law. It is very important that we understand the principles behind the law so that we know what is expected of us by our Lord. Next week, we'll be looking at the first of the Ten Commandments. At least that's my hope, unless another rabbit trail hits. But next week, hopefully we'll look at that first commandment through fresh eyes. That commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Like a battery, this would be the negative pull. Do not have any other gods before me. What's the positive? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the positive when looking at that commandment. Worshiping our Lord with our all. That is positive. It's the great part of the first commandment. And I hope to see you next week as we look into that first commandment.